Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and I am here today with a very special guest, Bill Phillips. Psychic medium Bill Phillips is the author of Signs from the Other Side and Expect the Unexpected. His life's mission is to help people deal with the grief of losing loved ones by bringing through validations, evidential information, and beautiful messages from spirit, which heal and bring a sense of peace. He conducts individual and small and large group readings and has appeared on high-profile television programs like Dr. Phil and Access Hollywood. He lives in Orange County, California, and you can visit him online at billphillips.com, which we will put into the show notes and we'll talk about a little bit later as well. I'm really excited to have you here today, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's a delight to have a psychic medium on. I think that you are our first psychic medium.
Wow.
So that's pretty exciting. I did have Lee Harris on as well, who I don't count him as a medium. He's more of an energy channel. He's a channel. So you are our first official medium, and what a very interesting calling you have. So one thing I believe men on purpose have is a calling. So I'd love to have you talk about the experience of being called to mediumship, what that was like for you, maybe when it happened, and how you navigated it when you first got that call.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, based upon your comment, that I consider myself first and foremost a channel. And so the title psychic and medium has its own type of description to it. But at the end of the day, that's what I refer to myself as when I'm working with people, is I'm a channel for spirit. And I really do talk about this a lot more in my first book, Expect the Unexpected. But my journey began very early for me. And what I've found over the years is that a lot of times when someone gets drawn to this calling, there's usually some type of catalyst that occurs. And that catalyst typically has to do with some form of trauma or heartbreak, something that really breaks the heart open where that light can come in. And for me, that happened in my childhood. And it all began when I was very young, 4, 5, 6, at night, seeing faces around me before I would fall asleep, seeing eyes, just seeing apparitions, not really sure what to make of it. And my mother convincing me that I had watched too many scary movies. So in that age, of course, my subconscious mind accepted that programming. And so it did sort of back off a little bit for a couple of years there. And then both of my parents struggled with their own drug and alcohol addiction. So at an early age, I was pulled back and forth from each of them. And it was very toxic and chaotic. And my mother actually kidnapped me when I was 6 years old and took me from California to New York, where most of those 3 years that I was there were very turbulent, not really knowing a place that I would call home for myself or having my own bed or just the basic necessities that a child typically doesn't have to worry about. Mm-hmm. And there was so much more than that. But when I was going through all of this, I remember going within, closing my eyes and going to my safe place. And for me as a child, I really wasn't sure how to label what I was experiencing. All I knew was that whenever I was in a place of crisis and I went within and closed my eyes, I was protected. And there was a force field around me of energy. And I'm so grateful that I had that awareness as a child, because if I didn't, things could have ended up much differently. So 3 years later, while being in New York, my mother was in and out of rehabs and everything. So I was actually sent back to my father, who at the time was living in Las Vegas. And we were there for a short 6 months, and then we came back to California. And it really was going from one extreme to the other. You know, my father at the time also was going through his issues. So, you know, I was going from not having a place to call home in New York to California. And that went on for a couple of years until my grandmother took me in. And to make a very long story short, I was back in California for about 6 years, and I did not see my mother physically. We talked on the phone quite a bit. You know, we had this inseparable bond between each other, but it was very, you know, it was very hard not to be in each other's physical presence. And I know that I'm sure that aided in her challenges that she was facing when she was back in New York. So she actually went into the hospital on a Monday and passed away on a Saturday of the same week. She was diagnosed with a lot of, there was pancreatic cancer. And so I was able to fly out on a Friday red eye, get there Saturday morning, and get to the hospital to say goodbye to her before she passed away. And as you can imagine, you know, as a 14, almost 15-year-old, I thought my life was over. It was just very, you know, I couldn't put it into words. It was heartbreaking, and there were so many emotions to encapsulate that experience. And so I was lost, and 2 nights later, I woke up to my mother in the room, actually, and she was there to tell me that she was okay. And what a gift that was, because if I hadn't had that experience, I don't know, I'm not sure how I would have handled my own self and my own life at that time. And from that point forward, having that visitation from her was extremely eye-opening for me. And it was just the catalyst for me further investigating and discovering what was going on inside of myself. So 3 years later, I found myself at a metaphysical store randomly, and they were doing a class on mediumship. And so I was sat down with two strangers and basically put to the test. And in those moments, these incredible revelations and validations occurred. That was sort of my nudge from the other side that I had something that I had to develop and really use to help people. And so it was from that point forward that I really put myself into this. And I did not want to do that. It was very much, you know, me wanting to pursue my singing career as an opera singer. And I actually went to a very prestigious conservatory in that time frame. But what I realized is that this is something that calls you and you don't call it. And when you really surrender to that and really get out of the way of how you think life should go, going towards what God has as another plan for you, and really trusting that plan was just magical. And so when I learned to just trust that process, it all came together very effortlessly. And here I am today. You know, this has been almost 15 years later, and I am so grateful to be able to call this my calling. So
beautiful. Yeah. So I want to talk to you also about courage, because I think what's really important in your story that I want to emphasize for our listeners is when you have a calling of this nature, right? I mean, I've had people on this show that are businessmen. I've had people on this show that are artists. I've had people on this show that are into the health industry. I've had people on this show who are, you know, in the real estate business, you know, and they all have their own unique calling, but your particular calling is highly, highly spiritual calling. Mm-hmm. A lot of times with a spiritual calling, and, you know, certainly you said that in your story, it's your own personal, undeniable experience that only you actually have the awareness of. Only you actually can validate yourself around, I actually saw my mother 2 days later, you know. So I feel like it takes a lot of courage to answer this kind of calling. So I'd love to have you talk a little bit about that.
Thank you for asking that, because that is absolutely 100% true. And that was, for me, probably my biggest challenge in that time frame for me. Having, you know, my grandmother who did take me in, and I dedicate a lot of my pure a heart to her because she taught me to be that pure vessel. But she also is very religious. So I had this other programming going on that I had to really stand in my own awareness and my own truth to follow. So I was very doubtful in the very beginning of this for that purpose, you know, because what would people think of me? You know, I'm going to be called crazy or all these different names. And as an 18-year-old and still in that age range where you're still discovering who you are, you know, so I had all of these thoughts going through, and also, you know, coming out of two closets because, you know, as well being gay and also being a medium, and in that time frame, not really wanting to express myself in that regard, it was challenging. You know, I had to do a lot of soul searching. One thing that always brought me back to my knowing, and which gave me that courage, were people talking about me and people contacting me and them explaining their experiences that they had through a reading, you know, through that channeling process, and hearing the stories and hearing how healing it was and people saying how it had changed their whole perception, their whole life. As a young adult, I felt that that was the validation that spirit was so much trying to get through to me, was just trust yourself. And so for me, it was really just taking it one day at a time, really kind of taking pressure off of the timeline for this, or how I thought I should be handling this, just trusting that I was in the right place at the right time, and just to see where that led me. And so really what came along with that courage was surrender. And when I was able to really learn that, which, by the way, I feel like I learned that surrender being a child going through those traumatic experiences. I had no choice but to surrender because I wasn't able to control anything in that environment. So for me, you know, having that courage and walking that tightrope, you know, basically required a tremendous amount of faith and trust that only aided in my own belief system, you know. And so, like you were saying, each person has their own individual validation process. It's so true. And for every person, that will look different. But the aim of it, and the aim from the other side, and the aim from our guides, our loved ones, our angels, basically is to show us that what we're experiencing right now is just one layer of what's available and what's out there. So I was able to really expand my awareness and expand my understanding by just delving deeper and having that courage and trusting.
Beautiful. All right, we're going to have to take a short break, but when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit more about that trust process, learning to trust the process and surrendering and expressing yourself. So, but right now we want to take a short break. I want to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. I do want to say that as we are recording this episode today, the episode that's airing is the 100th episode of the Men on Purpose podcast. So there's a big celebration that we're having here today. So thank you so much for being part of that celebration, Bill, and listeners.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So we've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. We've got our 100th episode up and out. And I want to shout out this week to our listeners in, let's see, where do we want to shout out today, Bill? Do you have a sense of where in the world? Because we have 75 countries listening. Where should we shout out to today, Bill?
I'm going to shout out to where I'm at, actually, in the U.S. of A., and more specifically on the West Coast, California, as
beautiful.
Well.
Beautiful. Awesome. So shout out today to all of our listeners in California. Actually, California is the biggest downloading state that the show has listeners in, so it's perfect. And we will be right back with Bill Phillips.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com, or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Bill Phillips. He is the author of Expect the Unexpected and the brand new Signs from the Other Side. I actually got an advance copy of Signs from the Other Side, Opening to the Spirit World. And before this, look, there's the actual copy, which came out in March of 2019. And so I spent a little time last night, just before today's show, doing a run through of the book. And I loved the story about the tinsel, the two strands of tinsel. That was a great story. Mm-hmm. And it was very synchronistic because yesterday, a close friend of mine, she and I went crystal shopping. And when we came back, she went off to her own house to do her yard work and posted a video later about tinsel that she found in the ground. She's pulling out of the ground and saying, "I'm so sorry, Mother Earth. It's been 10 years since I had a Christmas tree. And look, this tinsel is still..."
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
That was pretty funny that there was a tinsel chapter. Well, anyway, so what I want to say, Bill, now, what I want to ask you right now about is I want to talk to you about this process of surrendering and trusting the process and learning to trust the process. Is there some specific exercises, immediately actionable steps, guidelines that you can offer to our listeners to help them to be able to let go and trust the process themselves? Because my sense is that I actually have plenty of listeners in this listening audience who have what we'll call special gifts, of mediumship and channeling and healing and all of those other things. And, you know, just maybe don't have it identified yet. So if you could give us a few little immediately actionable steps for them to learn how to exercise their own courage muscle and trust the process a little bit, that would be great.
Definitely. And this is actually the reason why I wrote my second book, this book, Signs from the Other Side, is I really wanted to empower people to step into their own, you know, their own truth, because the truth of the matter is so many people have these experiences, but they do let fear stand in the way. The same way that I did when I was, you know, a teenager and basically being afraid of what people would think about this. So my intention for this book was to have someone who is going through that experience read a story like the tinsel, you know, read a story and go, "Wow, I had the same experience and I was so afraid to share it with somebody." So it's almost like having this pen pal through the pages, you know, that really sort of validates that experience for that person. Because the reality of this, Emerald, is that we are all channels walking around on this earth. And, you know, a lot of times we're unaware of it, you know, and so we will be in a situation where we say something to someone, we don't know where it came from, and the person goes, "I so had to hear that today in this moment," you know? So we're always being used, whether it be direct or indirectly, as messengers. So when someone is trying to, you know, break the ice, so to speak, and really get into that energy, it's really just about being aware of your own thoughts and your own feelings, you know, and it's very simple. I think that through pop culture and movies that are out there and things that are available that depict this world being much more dramatic than it actually is, that is the part that makes people's rational minds go, "Oh, I have to see it in this regard, or I have to have this crazy dramatic experience with the walls opening up to have this gift," you know, and it's just not the truth. So really what it comes down to first is giving yourself permission to be able to receive that information, whether it be a sign, whether it be a message or a download or just an intuitive sense. It's just changing your thought process, giving yourself permission, telling yourself, you know, "I am a channel, I am gifted, you know, I trust my intuition." Just kind of having that dialogue with yourself really activates that part of the mind and also of the soul too, so that you actually are directing yourself towards that part of yourself and away from the fear part of yourself. So when you really understand your energy, your thoughts, and are able to decipher what is yours versus what is coming through you, that really is the most special and important element of this. So I always say, give yourself permission, and then also give spirit permission as well. Invite them in on this process with you, on this journey with you, and ask them for the signs, because when you ask, you shall receive. And along with that process as well is having an understanding of how your energy works, how the aura works, how the chakras work, how the clair senses work, understanding that we have extra sensories, you know, besides our physical senses. And, you know, I'm so grateful to have had the opportunity to teach about this now and really showing people how simple it is, and the place within themselves to focus in on is always the first step. Now, for someone building the trust element with this and building that just undeniable faith, that really does go down to putting yourself in the moment, being present with the information. So when I was in this space, and when I really didn't have a support network around me, I was constantly testing myself. So I would be, you know, at school, sitting in the lounge, and I would be asking myself, okay, who's going to be walking down that aisle, you know, that hallway next? Will they be male or female? Okay, what color are they going to be wearing? Like, I really tried to push myself every time to keep myself in that space of that instant notification that I would receive from my own intuitive self. So it's really kind of walking that tightrope and always being being aware, but also being willing to go with your first instinct, to go with your first gut feeling. And we all experience this, you know, whether it be the phone ringing and you knowing already who it is before you pick up the caller ID, you know, there's to having a sense of a friend from the past and then them contacting you. We all have it there because, again, we were designed to be that channel. So it really just goes down to getting rid of all of the outside distractions around you, you know, getting rid of all of the just material stuff around you, and getting in touch with your truest self, with your pure self. And when you do that, it's pretty effortless, and it's pretty, you're totally aware of what's going on. So when you give your faith back to yourself and kind of detach from how you think you should be, really, that's when that awareness and that's when that awakening begins.
Beautiful. So there's a whole bunch in there that I want to just unpack a little bit. One thing that you mentioned is, you know, understanding the chakras and understanding your energy body. And one thing that's wonderful is now science is actually catching up with what has been known about for thousands of years in esoteric circles. So we actually now have scientific tools that can validate things that have been known and passed on in mystery schools and so forth for many years. So it's a lot easier, I think, now than it probably was in previous lifetimes for those of us who do have these gifts. Mm-hmm. And I would absolutely agree with you that everyone has the capacity to channel. And yet, just like everyone has the capacity to play the piano, not everyone is going to be an orchestral concert pianist at Carnegie Hall. So it does require committing to yourself and your gifts. And it does require, as you mentioned, practice. And so, and the third thing that I wanted to pull out of that is, it was interesting in your practice, you practice like, I wonder what color they're going to be wearing. I wonder what this, what that. I do want to just put into the space, because I'm also a channel, psychic, medium, healer, whatever you want to, you know, I mean, we can put a number of different labels on that. Yeah. Not every person who has this gift, it's not always going to be as tuned in a certain way as other people are tuned. So for a great example, when I first came out myself as a psychic and a channel, I was on an interview similar to this interview with somebody in the UK, and they said, well, tell me what color my co-host is wearing. And that is not, like, that's not where my channel is dialed to. My channel is dialed to supporting people through healing processes. So I felt like I was really put on the spot, and it embarrassed me, and I felt judged and, you know, kind of unhappy about that whole situation. I was mad at my guides. I was like, why did you put me into this situation? Right. So I would like to have you talk just a little bit about potential challenges around being judged or having these labels of psychic, medium, channel, healer, whatever you want to call it, assumed to be a certain thing.
Absolutely. And this is something that I talk about quite often, is that, like you were saying a second ago, that we all have the potential, but we're not, you know, there are people that are way more tuned into it, you know. So going back to my music background, you know, anyone can hold a tone on some level, but not everyone can sing like Pavarotti, or not everyone can, you know, we all have our unique talent to share. Not only that, Emerald, but also this is a great responsibility as well that I don't think people truly get unless you're in that realm. So I know for me, I could speak on my behalf that I spend every day that I do this, and I do this almost every day of the week. I actually have a preparation system. You know, I honor the process. A lot goes into it, you know, behind the scenes as well. And with that being said, it's very important to know that, yes, people view it as like sometimes a fun party trick or something, which that's great, but it's not a novelty. It's not. It's something to be very much respected. It's something to be cherished. It's a sacredness. You know, there's something very special about it that I feel like anyone who does decide to go into this realm should really understand that. And also go with your feelings too. You know, your intention will always serve you. And I know for me that when I really let go and distrusted the flow of my guides and the universe with this, literally everything lined up effortlessly for me. And that was my validation that, okay, I'm going to go with this, you know, getting out of my own way and literally letting go of the wheel. And that's what took me to really accept this as my life's calling, you know? So I would definitely agree with you with that and just explain that your higher self, this built-in intuitive system that we all have, that is your guiding light. And it will tell you if it's right for you. You will know if you're wanting to do it to be popular or, you know, to gain attention, that's a different intention behind it entirely. And so I would tell you, take a step back, see really what your intention is with it. And, you know, if this is your path, it'll be very obvious. It really will. But at the same time, it will also have its challenges of building a thick skin with the world too. And, you know, it's something that part of what makes someone a channel is their sensitivity. You know, we do at times feel like exposed nerves because we feel everything. And it doesn't have to only be in public places. You could be feeling someone from 1,000 miles away and not even realizing it, you know? So to really understand the complexities of energy, you know, it's super important. And also to have boundaries as well, super important in this work. And I feel like it's all part of the package, really. And the more that you give yourself to it, and the more that you develop that confidence, because confidence with anything in life is your feeling block behind it. You know, if you don't feel good about yourself, you're not going to be able to surge and channel that energy through, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a football player, or whether you're a medium. Mm-hmm. You have to have that energy source fueling within you that actually is giving you that experience that you're actually, it's your battery source, you know? Mm-hmm. So many different elements, but I would also encourage people not to be so hard on themselves as well, to be gentle with themselves, because if you are, and if you truly are in that alignment and in that faith and in that back and forth dialogue with the other side, you will start to notice people showing up in your physical world as well. That will be a support for you. And I've been so grateful within my journey that those people showed up at the exact perfect time for me. So where there's a will, there's a way. And when you set that pure intention, you know, your guides, the universe, God, everything responds to that frequency. And in the process of raising your vibration, you're also attracting to you who in essence are your earth guides or your earth teachers.
Yeah. You know? Beautiful. Yeah. Your team on earth. Well, Bill, we are already at the end, but I want to let everybody know that they can find out more about you at billphillips.com. We will have that in the show notes. And listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show, or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on Apple Podcasts and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.